RNZ Pacific News, Ko Koroe Hawkins toku ingoa. An air of harmony has finally settled over Samoa's politicians today as the members of the opposition HRPP party were sworn in as MPs more than 5 months after the elections. The MPs were in Parliament this morning for the first time this week at the direction of the Supreme Court, which ruled yesterday the Speaker could not continue to stop them from taking their rightful places. The MPs hugged and embraced and were then sworn in. Our correspondent in Apia Aotearoa, Tipi Aotearoa, says Parliament was then adjourned to resume on Monday when the opposition gets to have their say about the budget. He says there are critical issues. The former Prime Minister, Tuilaepa Sailele Malelingoe, and his HRPP members want to raise.
Especially the $1 million allocated for each of the 51 constituencies. It's a new move by a new government to have that in the budget, and Tuilaepa and his team will have a go.
The Pacific Conference of Churches says Australia's new security pact with the US and the UK sits uneasily alongside the region's nuclear legacy. The AUKUS alliance, announced by leaders of the three countries this week, is set to develop nuclear-powered submarines for Australia. The conference's General Secretary, James Bhagwan, says the move is a serious concern for a region still dealing with the legacy of nuclear testing. He says the Pacific Islands Forum is increasingly focused on achieving a blue Pacific that is nuclear-free.
You know, the ocean impacts our life. We are the fish basket of the world. So if one submarine comes in and something goes wrong and the nuclear waste from that submarine gets into our ocean, that's too much already.
French Polynesia is evacuating 12 people to Paris for medical help as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to claim lives in the French territory. 50 people are in intensive care, and this is why the state has chartered an aircraft to fly a dozen patients to France. Another two people have died in the past day, and 167 people are hospitalized. This takes the death toll in French Polynesia to 585 since COVID-19 first hit. The figures have come down over the past week, and La Première Polynésie website reports this has prompted the government to announce that from Monday, some restrictions on movement will be lifted. Meanwhile, in New Caledonia, the pandemic is worsening. There's been another death in the past day, taking the death toll to 7. New Caledonia now has 2,386 active cases, with 161 people in hospital. In the South Island city of Timaru in New Zealand, the community is reeling after three young children were found dead in their home a month after five teenagers were killed in a horror crash. Canterbury District Commander Superintendent John Price says it was unfortunate the events had occurred in a short period of time.
This is yet another incredibly sad event for the residents of Timaru, and people in our community will be feeling it, especially after the recent event where we lost the lives of five young men in a car accident.
Superintendent Price says he wanted to provide reassurance. Police were doing everything they could to ensure Timaru remained a fantastic, safe place to live. The New Zealand government has now paid out $2.1 billion through the wage subsidy scheme. 480,000 wage applications have been approved so far. The Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, says the third round of wage subsidy and resurgence support payment also opened for applications this morning. The autonomous Bougainville government says it is not changing course as it seeks independence from Papua New Guinea. President Ismail Toroama was speaking after a parliamentary statement from the PNG Prime Minister James Marape that nothing can be predetermined on the independence question. He says neither he nor his government could legally make any commitment on independence with the final decision vested in Parliament. But Mr. Toroama says Bougainville and PNG must both comply with the peace agreement. Mr. Toroama says despite the challenges, he has not lost sight of people's aspirations for an independent Bougainville. A Pacific health expert says despite a slow start to vaccination rates in Aotearoa, New Zealand, equity-focused efforts are paying off. More than 62% of eligible Pacifica have received their first dose of the vaccine, and at least 32% of eligible Pacifica are fully vaccinated. Pacifica immunologist Diane Sikapautonu says the vaccination rate trajectory is heading in the right direction as barriers around accessibility are addressed. She says older Pacific populations have been doing best, and now the focus should turn to getting young people vaccinated. More than 360 Cook Islanders stranded in New Zealand will not be able to fly home until Auckland drops to alert level 2. New Zealand's largest city is in its fifth week of level 4 lockdown, but the government has signalled Tamaki Makaurau will move to alert level 3 on Tuesday. The Cook Islands High Commission has set up a database for stranded travellers and has been doing regular checks on their well-being. Her Excellency Liz Wright-Koteka says repatriation flights will be able to start under alert level 2.
The planning around that is currently going on. So through the registry, our people at home can go back and sieve through and organise people into cohorts based on their circumstances as to how they were stuck here and what their need is. Go through a process of prioritisation for people to go back.
The Cook Islands High Commission has set up a database for the 368 stranded travellers and has been doing regular checks on their well-being. China has applied to join the world's biggest free trade agreement. It submitted a formal application to join the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. The 11-country agreement, which includes New Zealand, was signed in 2018 and members account for about 13% of the world's economy. China joins the United Kingdom on the list of would-be members. An independent investigation has concluded former senior leaders at the World Bank encouraged staff to alter a report to boost China's ranking as a business-friendly country. The US Treasury says it's analysing the documents. The BBC's Jessica McKellen reports.
The World Bank's Doing Business 2018 report ranked countries' commercial environments, and Beijing was keen to improve its overall score. When the report was being prepared, the bank was trying to get more money from China, and the investigation by law firm WilmerHale has concluded that undue pressure was put on staff to use a methodology that would boost the country's standing. The report singles out the then chief executive, Kristalina Georgieva, and members of the cabinet of the then president.
Air New Zealand has cancelled all quarantine-free flights to Australia until at least December due to the continued suspension of the Trans-Tasman bubble. In a press release, the airline says it will operate a limited number of quarantine flights to New Zealand in the meantime. These will be available to book when new MIQ rooms are released on Monday morning. The Australian government has also allocated isolation spaces for a handful of Air New Zealand flights to bring people in Aotearoa back to Australia. Chief Customer and Sales Officer Leanne Geraghty says staff are doing everything they can to get customers to where they need to be. In sports, Solomon Islands have been outclassed 7-0 by Portugal in their second group match at the Futsal World Cup in Lithuania. The Kurukuru are yet to score a goal in two games after a 6-0 defeat by Morocco in their opening match. Portugal top the Group C standing with two wins, while African champions Morocco are second after being held to a 1-1 draw by Thailand. Solomon Islands need to beat Thailand on Monday to have any hope of reaching the round of 16 as one of the four best third-place finishers among the six groups. Meanwhile, Oceania's FIFA World Cup regional qualifiers are set to take place in Qatar early next year. The Oceania Football Confederation has confirmed they are exploring the possibility of staging their qualifying matches in the Middle Eastern country, which is hosting the World Cup in March. And that's sports and news from RNZ Pacific.